Dead Air Hardcore Radio.
Howdy. Dead Air Hardcore Radio. This week, we got Slime from Portland, Oregon. Are we Portland proper, or are we, or do we have anybody Beaverton anywhere surrounding areas? Are we all in Portland, Vancouver? What's going on here?
Well, these cats live in Vancouver. Yeah, I live in Portland. Adams lives in Portland, so
yeah, hey, go Portland.
Yeah, think about Portland and Vancouver. Is it's all kind of so it's so close that it's like. It's all considered like Portland metro region, essentially.
We've all lived all over the city, you know, in Portland, Vancouver, you know, it's all been kind of throughout our time here. We've all lived in different spots, you know.
There used to be, were y'all around at the time? This was probably over a decade ago, just a little bit, where they had the shows at the upstairs of a rec hall in Vancouver. There's the foundation tour with Harness. That might be before y'all.
Yeah, the big grain show. Cast Out played that show.
Were you in Cast Out?
Yeah, I played bass in Cast Out.
Sick.
And So I did, I did Cast Out for a long time, and we played a ton of shows through Portland with like that foundation. And, I believe Gravemaker played that as well at that grain show with Harness.
I remember going to those shows, cause there was also, right before that was the Wrong Answer, Agitator tour. And, there would be like, seniors yoga right before the shows, and it was very interesting. That specific Harness show, I don't remember if it was the Harness show or the Agitator show, one of those two. I remember Harness, like they did this like thing where they had all the merch kind of like horseshoed around the venue, and all the tables literally just got like fucking slammed.
Yeah, that was the Harness and then the foundation show at that grade. Yeah, I remember that. I remember people flying into those tables.
I remember that. I remember it was either that or the Agitator one where I'm pretty sure it was the Harness. It was, but there was someone moshing into the hallway. the hallway that goes into the stairs that goes down back down, and
yeah,
the dude was like, yo, you're not safe, not even in the hallway, and just kept on yelling it while they're moshing people like into the hallway down the stairs. Like,
were you at the show at the Red Room when Harness played? I think it was a Rainfest pre-show, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know if you were at that show. It was one of the last Red Room shows in Tacoma I've been to. But watching Harness play that show was one of the craziest memories I definitely have.
Yes, I would. So that specific Harness show, that was like the first time I saw them. I think they were just starting to do music, and they played. I was like recording something at just like right down the. I was recording something right down the street. So I went and checked it out. It was already like, it was sold out, but I was I just like hopped in, and it was just like, holy crap. I came in right when they were playing. I was like, what? I was like, this is,
there's a video on YouTube of it. I think in the depths of YouTube, there's still a live video of it. Like some, you know, crappy cell phone recording, but yeah, anybody that wants to check that out should go find it. That show was crazy.
The Red Room shows were crazy just because of the mere size of that venue. Like, yeah, they would be really fun when they just because it was literally what it was. It was a red room on Hilltop Tacoma. Like, that's,
yeah. Yeah. No, that was definitely one of my favorite venues back when, for sure.
But we're here with Slime. Let's get the intros going. Let's do name and position.
I'm Shane. I do vocals.
I'm Sean. I play guitar.
I'm Robert. I play bass. And our drummer Adam isn't here today, but you know, we've all been playing music for a really long time together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When did you get started, and what brought this all about?
So I started playing music, my first band, when I was probably 14, and I'm 33 now. So, and then me and Robert played in a band called, with Adam, we played in this band called Born to Die. And then I also started Cast Out with my friend Ian, and then played with Robert for a while. And then I left Cast Out. And then I know Robert played in a bunch of other bands as well. And I guess Slime started probably a little over a year ago.
About two years ago. 22.
I was just sitting in my bedroom, and I hadn't played like music in a long time. And I was like, you know what? Like, I want to play in a band again. And I pretty much went out and bought everything I needed to write and record at home.
He came to me at the music store I work at. He's like, can you get me an interface? I'm like, I got you, man.
Yeah, I got me.
Get you ripping again.
Got an interface, went and got monitors, went and bought a guitar. I mean, I had played guitar a little bit, but I was just like, I mean, how hard can it be for the style I want to write? So I started just writing and tracking songs, and then brought a bunch of stuff to Sean, and we kind of just started dissecting things and going through the tracks and taking this out or moving this around, and then it kind of just went from there. And asked Robert and Adam if they wanted to play music again, since we'd already played with each other. And I mean, after that, it was just kind of a wrap. So
yeah, I didn't realize until now how, like, that totally makes sense, like, out the gate that all the music's ripping. Like, I mean, not 100%, because there is a lot of younger, like, bands that haven't been in bands before where I am absolutely shocked, like, holy shit, the quality of some like newer bands that have been maybe only in one other band is pretty crazy for some people. I've seen some people's first bands out in the last couple years be like way more insane than I would have expected in years before. But with y'all, that makes a lot of sense too. Why just like everything is coming in pretty tight and focused, and shit sounding exactly like that. Cause I had no idea who was in the band when I first heard about it. And then I heard this, like, damn. I was like, cause
yeah, it takes a lot of it takes the right chemistry for sure. You know?
Absolutely. And like, this is just I could say still, at least for Northwest hardcore, the most decent time to like do these shows. Y'all just played. How'd y'all feel about JAG day one?
Oh man,
fucking crazy, man.
Insane. Honestly, for playing music as long as we have and stuff like that was, just very surreal. I remember afterwards, we were all just kind of like, holy shit, like, we couldn't believe that it just happened kind of feeling. And you know, just also feeling like very like overwhelmed with like a lot of gratitude, you know, because when we started this, it was kind of just like, we just really wanted to play for our friends and like kind of do things our own way and just make music we wanted to make. We did not ever anticipate ever getting to do something like that. So big shout out to Brainstem, Zach, Hannah, Caleb, Matt, all of them for like putting us on like that. That was like life changing for a lot of us. So
absolutely. Shout out to that. And also shout out to a band I never heard before that weekend. That was this that's pretty new to me, like where there was like, oh man, that caught me off guard. I never listened to Misery Whip, and I was like, Portland, and I was like, okay, that was really fun. I was like that literally just came out of absolute left field for me. Like when they came, I was like, because I think I listened to it like for a second, but it didn't register until, if all y'all saw me, I had to stand in the same place working at the venue all damn weekend. So I was like tired and I'm like, oh shit. But for the slime set, it's very funny. My friend Kevin from Metal Shop, busted his shit to it. Cause he gave me his hat or something. And he's like, watch this. And then he just fucking biffs it. I was like, good job.
Yeah, that was definitely the craziest set I've ever played. You know, I mean, that's, you know, definitely topped everything for me, you know. And yeah, just starting out, you know, like Shane said, you know, shout out Brainstem for sure, you know, giving us the opportunity to do that. You know, me and Shane were up there last year, and that was a huge, you know, the year before this, just recent one, that was a huge goal of ours, was like, man, this is crazy, you know, like that was a huge personal goal for a lot of us, you know, or all of us, just to get the opportunity to be part of something like that. So let alone just everything, the whole weekend, the vibe, everything, you know, plus just kind of having a goal met, you know, it's like, damn, we really were able to, you know, show that we were worthy of playing with all those crazy bands. You know, it's pretty nuts having to share the stage with bands you look up to, or bands that you were, you know, like, for instance, like playing with Zabalba that day, you know, I remember seeing Zabalba, you know, 12 years ago, and just like thinking about, damn, now we're playing, you know, the same stage with like these cats that are just so, you know, just been putting in the work for so many years. And just like Shane said, just the ultimate gratitude for real.
Yeah. And the fact that it was like that room, it was just like, it blew up, man.
It's crazy.
Yeah, the vibe,
awesome. That vibe was, I mean, you could just feel it in the air, like, you know, within those first like 30 seconds even of Elimination Squad starting, you could just feel the vibe off everybody in there. Was just like, it was so authentically
pure excitement.
Everybody just really wanted to be there, and it was like, you know, it was something I could equate to like going to like an MGM event, like in like the 80s or something like that. Everybody was just like, it was like electric in the air. You know what I mean? Like,
I think we all had an idea of how good it would be and how good we hope it would be, but it blew any of that out of the water. It was incredible.
Yeah, definitely.
And I would say like the grateful to be here thing, like, You're absolutely right with the crowd too, just because like the room was absolutely like the fest. I love Real Iron, but they were trying to have it at a bigger venue because the fest has officially outgrown the space, and so like it felt like more like, oh my god, I got a ticket to this, so I need to enjoy this. Like, so that part was really cool because there's a lot of people that probably wanted to go that couldn't go, but because there was no room left. They moved all the merch into the green room, and just
shout out for them to like figuring it out, you know, because that took a lot of logistical, you know, just having to go through and figure out how we're going to be able to make this work in that venue. You know, like, I know it wasn't ideal, but you know, that was definitely something, you know, that they, you know, crazily overcame with just being able to make it all work and not, you know, fall apart on the first day or, you know, have a bunch of issues. Like, all, you know, they all worked their asses off for that. And, you know, that's why, you know, we're just, like I said, we're just so grateful to be part of that, because we know how hard they worked to just put that on and make it, you know, the way it was for everybody there.
Yeah, I was very concerned, obviously, like, because I was at a show weekend right before the fest, and I was like kind of looking around. I was like, man, like, because they extended some of the fencing too, and like the space for the actual like dance floor is a little bit smaller. And I was just like, oh man, I hope they got this, and they figured it out. It was actually, even with how many people there, much more comfortable than it was the year before. The year before, when they had the merch out, was pretty.
No, I agree. Yeah, for sure. Like, it was a great idea to actually do that, because people were able to kind of horseshoe in there and kind of make their rounds and come out. You know, I remember last year it was super packed, and I mean, it was definitely not as many people there. And I remember it being just, it was sardines up in there.
Yeah, that merch table was just standing. Like, I remember standing over by the merch tables last year being like, oh, I should be all right over here. And I still got completely just like obliterated in that. So it was good that they moved those tables out of there, because that was like definitely like a chill area. You could actually stand in that section this year and not just get completely smashed on. So
I think the part that also concerned me, and I think is all, I've said this in a couple episodes, and it's been kind of, it all, the image in my head was when somebody slammed during a Morningstar, when somebody slammed into that fan, and I was so concerned that someone was going to like get all sliced up, because like it was open, the guard on the fan was off. It was just,
yeah, there was no guard on it.
It was swinging there, and I'm like, I ran over to unplug it, because like I wasn't expecting it, because like, it's another thing I've said a couple times, I wasn't expecting people to go so hard to like mathy like botch parts. Like, yeah. But so I was like, so that part I was like, there were some definitely concerns going like in my head going in this year, but that's not my department. So I'm just the crew figured it out. The crew with Brainstem figured it out and hosted like the best possible thing Tacoma has to offer for music. So I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing without Brainstem doing shows, inspiring other people in the Pacific Northwest to do, because of Brainstem. People are picking up guitars or figuring out how to book. It's inspiring me to go do other, to look at other stuff. So it's just what they do has much more influence beyond just that weekend and beyond their shows.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, I think that too is like with them doing JAG, you know, because I mean, what, historically on the West Coast, it's always kind of the big fest has always been Sound and Fury, right? And I think that with them doing JAG, it kind of showcases that there's more stuff going on. There's more like areas you should travel to other than just California, you know? It's like, hey, like us as the Northwest, like we still, like you should come play here. Like this is what we are able to do, what we have to offer, you know, rather than it just being a place that's kind of out of the way, you know? Because now with like Boise and stuff cultivating like a really good scene out there, in Tacoma and Portland, it's like now it's like, you know, rather than just coming out here, because back in the day it was like bands would just kind of come out here to play like Seattle or stuff, you know? But now it's like you have three options, so it makes it more worth your while to come out here, you know? So
I definitely agree that it's really helped, but there also has to be like consistency, because like I get for the point, like, because some bands, there's a lot of, you know, apprehension because we are in a corner of the country, so like it takes a while for some people to open up to the idea, because I've talked to bands and they're like, they want to just skirt past that idea of going over here, and then now because of stuff we're doing, they're like, okay, I'll talk about it. Still not ready, but I'm thinking about it. It's because it's still a hard, like, talking to bands from the East Coast that are just starting out. They're like, we'd absolutely love to, but the idea of getting out here is scary as hell.
Yeah,
and even over the going to shows out here, I mean, it's pretty isolated, considering how packed in the East Coast is. You know, you can go several states pretty easy. I can't even name on all my fingers and toes how many times I've seen a sick tour be like West Coast or US, and it completely passes us up.
I remember this used to be like a thing that I feel like primarily East Coast bands used to preach and talking about, like, you know, if a tour doesn't go to your town or go to your state, go to the next one. I'm like, or go to this or something like that. I was like, that is easier to say in certain areas of the country, like where it is a 2-3. If it's in Portland, I'm totally cool with it. Boise, got to think about it. Like, but if it's like on like two states away, that's a, like, it, you know, if something cool is happening down the coast, that could be a 15-hour drive. Yeah. So I think sometimes that with that little rant is not always based in at least regional reality.
Yeah. Agreed.
So we've done Jag. You guys have come out with quite a few. You've done the promo, I believe. You did the fall promo. You did the EP, and I think you did a split, right? And then you've done like up to four releases.
Correct? Yeah, we haven't done a split. On our fall promo, we had a couple features. One from Jared from Force to Suffer from the Bay Area, and then from Ben, both vocal parts. Ben from Misery Whip. So those two songs that we did on the fall promo, we have features from them. But we haven't done a split. But all of our releases have been pretty, just a few songs. You know, our first demo was two songs. Then we came out, with the next release that was Concrete Scars. The next release, we did two songs, and the latest release, Sidewalk Misery, was the our EP essentially.
Sick. Yeah. And I know you guys are recording some shit right now, right?
Yeah, we're in the process right now. We just went and recorded two songs, and we're doing it a little bit differently this time compared to how we've done it in the past. We have six songs total that we're going to be doing. And in the past, typically with like actually every band we've always done has been, we go in and we track every instrument individually. And this time we're doing like a live recording track, but it's still going to be essentially the same. We're just all tracking together basically, but it's not just, you know, one mic in the room. Everything is individually mic'd, like amps are in separate rooms. Like everything is still very isolated, so the quality is not going to degrade whatsoever, but it's going to have a more organic feel to it. Mm-hmm. I guess you could say the only thing that's getting tracked separately is going to be vocals, and I don't know, I'm not exactly sure when we're planning on getting everything out, because we're kind of taking our time like with it a little bit, because we have so much new material to work through, and the songs are pretty different compared to everything we've done in the past. Like we were going through one of them last practice actually, and it was taking us a minute to kind of like figure it out a little bit, but once we really started to get into that groove, we were all just like, holy shit, like this is awesome, like this is where we have been wanting to kind of like go direction wise. So
hey man, as long as people can fucking mosh, that's the key there. the shows, like, I did the Tacoma show in September was really fucking good too. Like the first time I think I saw you up, saw y'all up here was that show. And I was talking to Chris, who does Northwest Hardcore Radio, Place and Change. Just like talking about like, it's like, from what I can tell, like this band, like has what, like the energy of like has really big energy, like as a fucking big band, and like can do it with the best of them. And I'm like, I absolutely agree. The first time I listened to it, I was like, there's really like, this is adequate to, this is just like listening to anything else that's like right now doing, like that's, you know, currently playing. Like I could see this on LDB. I can see this on any other, like I could literally see this being a set at fucking Sound and Fury as well. I'm not trying to gas up or anything. And I'm not trying to like raise expectation or be like, man, I'm not trying to have you like be like, man, don't say that.
No, it's appreciated.
But that's
man,
how, like, that's how I feel. But that's how I feel as like a listener listening to it. I know like goals in the band can be separated. Like it seems like your intention is just to make some like actual good ass music.
Yeah, that I mean, that's always step one, you know. And the fact that we've gotten the reaction off of the songs we've written is just crazy, you know. I don't think anybody expected it to get, you know, garner any attention where people are showing up for us or anything like that, and you know, we're buying our merch and having us, you know, sitting good on bills and stuff. Like it's been great.
I think my favorite thing, you know, one of the main reasons, the main thing that I love about it the most is like being able to go and play shows elsewhere outside of like our comfort zone and our region. Because, you know, when we go to other towns and we've played in other places, like you can just feel that people are like genuinely like stoked to be there, you know? And for me, that is worth more than kind of anything else, because I mean, isn't that part of the whole point, is to have something that, you know, that gets you excited about things and gives you something to do and kind of takes you away from your mundane in and out, you know, like the general programming, you know? So that to me, like just being able to go and experience energy and see how that energy is like almost linear from place to place, you know, in a way, like granted it's, you know, some places it's more, but the general like vibe is still there. And that's such a cool thing to see. It's something that, you know, you can see that is alive and that is very unique and whatnot. So
I think it's also exciting because just like, I think when you're referencing that, you're also talking about like kind of playing some like areas and towns that might not, that are a little bit disconnected from some of the bigger like show markets, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
I 100% agree with that too, because just like there are so many people like that are excited and want to like go to a show and see these things, but like going back to that rant that I was talking about, it's not also always feasible for a 16-year-old to like somehow make it like 2 to 3 hours to their major like city to go see a show. So like, that's like y'all going out to those areas and other bands like that, that's like literally making their day, weekend, month, possibly even year, like, and like that's just like, that also just garners excitement for other bands, to other like those kids. I'm like, man, maybe I'll go out there and actually like play this shit myself too.
Some of the funnest shows I've ever played, like being on, you know, on little tours and stuff, have been the smallest towns where those kids are just so excited that you came through to their town and that they have like something to do. And like, seriously, like I remember playing in like Amarillo, Texas, and like that was one of the craziest shows that we did on that run. Like that was like back in, I think, 2013 or 2014 with Cast Out. And you know, like those kids are like, you know, I think that what's booming right now, because so many younger kids are like grown up a few years and are like able to go to shows, you know, those kids that were like 13, 14, 15, getting into music, and now they're able to kind of go to shows as, you know, younger kids, 17, 18. And it's really cool to see like them just be so stoked to be able to go to a show, or when you hit a small town, or, you know, they're able to just make it there and buy a shirt. You know, I think at JAG, I'm pretty sure this girl was 13 and she bought her first like hardcore shirt from us, you know, and it was sick as hell to see that.
I know that there's been like just even like with Rainfest, I feel like JAG has been able to get like the younger demographic, because Rainfest was always in a weird, like that so like even now that I'm thinking accessibility, like Real Art South Tacoma Way, that area is much more like open to other suburbs, small towns, like accessible compared to Capitol Hill, Seattle.
Yeah.
100%. So like there's people from Puyallup, Graham, Eatonville, Bonnie Lake that can come to these, that can South Pierce County, that can come out there, versus like it's absolutely like no like younger, like under 18, like no parents really does want to like go out to like Capitol Hill or drop off their kid.
Especially now, you know, especially in this era right now with how bad things have gotten in the city, you know, everywhere, you know, I mean, back then in, you know, Rainfest era, you know, it was a lot more friendly and inviting over there than, you know, going into that area now. And, you know, definitely being a parent, you know, from that point of view, you know, I would way rather have my young kid, you know, go to a show closer to home, you know, than go into the big city, as you, you know, technically you'd say. And so I think it's really cool that they were able to do, you know, JAG this year down at the Real Art, just for that, what you were saying, it's just so much more accessible. It's a little more inviting, you know, for the younger crowd.
Well, also historically for Rainfest, that's my Rainfest. I started my first Rainfests were at the Viaduct. Like,
yeah, that was a little before my time. I didn't get the opportunity to go to the Viaduct, but I, you know, that was something I heard of for many, many years. And I wish I would have been able to be part of that.
Like, yeah. That's what really pulled me in, is just because they're like, because I don't do it anymore. Because I, at one point, I wanted to like, I got a camera and I really was like, all right, I'm gonna fucking film and make movies, and I'm gonna be some fucking director or something. And I don't know where that idea came, like, left. But at the time, they just saw some kid like messing around with a camera, and they're like, hey, do you want to go film terror? And you were like, we'll let you in for free. And like, I was like, and got to just film people moshing. I was like, this is like the coolest fucking thing ever. People are just like jumping over my head while I'm trying to like keep my camera steady, and like jumping over the speakers, and it was just absolutely bonkers. And that was like the Rainfest. Like, don't get me wrong, the like Rainfests in Seattle were absolutely amazing. They had bands, they were able to get crazier bands and having a great time. But the times in Tacoma are always going to stand out for me, because I lived in this area. I live down the street. So like what you're saying about like tying it back to the smaller market, that's just like, that's what honestly in my mind makes hardcore. I feel like Axe to Grind had this like similar talk like at some point on an episode, but like I believe that like that actually is what really those things you're talking about is actually what really ties the scene together, because that makes like LDB, that area, the Flyover Fest area, like those festivals have like came from small markets, like literally coming together, and small scenes making something huge and making some of the biggest hardcore festivals in our country.
Mm-hmm. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, agreed.
So keep going to those damn small towns for sure. You know, always shout out to Tacoma. I'm like, no, disrespect to Seattle at all. I love Seattle hardcore. There's stuff happening in Seattle all the time. Also shout out to Portland. I literally have not been to a, like, It is definitely hard for me to get down to Portland, but like, I'm like, y'all have been like, since before this boom after the pandemic, have continued to do your thing. But as far as Slime, what are y'all trying, like, y'all are recording music and doing your thing. What would you like to accomplish, going forward? If anything, are you just going with the flow?
For me, I feel like it's kind of just going with the flow, just seeing, what we can do as far as like, because I don't have any, like, personally, it's not like, for me, it's not like, oh, I want to do all this so we can, do that, like playing Jag and stuff like that is kind of just like the cherry on top, so to say, or getting asked to do those like bigger like shows and stuff like that is just like a huge, like, extra and positive that comes off of it. So for me, it's kind of just like, I really just like playing shows and in dark, scary rooms at the end of the day. Like, we played a show a while back. We played with this band Dose and All That Matters and a band down here called Teardown. And it was like a random night that it happened. And I remember, there was only like 40 people that came out to that show. And there was a couple people that showed up there that when they walked in, they were kind of looking around like, like, where is everybody? And they were kind of like asking me that. And I just had this big smile on my mind. I was like, man, I don't care. Like, this is going to be a good time. And the thing was, the show was a lot of fun, actually. It was a small room. There wasn't a lot of people, but everybody that was there wanted to be there. And they were all there having a good time. So the energy still was there. So, I mean, as long as, for me, we can keep playing shows where like the energy is there, like that's really the ultimate goal in the end, and also being able to write music and record music that is very reflective and expressive of like all of our personal lives, because a huge part of it is it's an outlet, so to be able to express things that you maybe some people wouldn't understand or you wouldn't be able to articulate to like, a therapist or whatever, like there's something very therapeutic about playing music. So like at the end of the day, like I think moving forward, that's what it's about for me personally.
And I think you said something out without really saying it. And like when you were talking about that show, like, so, and this is something that I wish I have that mentality. And we talked about it even early in the episode, just being grateful. I wish I could tell my younger self that, cause I would get myself let down if I book or play a show that was, smaller or whatever, but it's like, it really has to be the reflection of like the people putting it on, the people playing, the people booking. If you have, you're the people making the show, and you can make the show the best it possibly can, regardless of like how many people showed up. And if
I'd rather have five people there that like were quality and wanted to be there than 50 people that were just like, like at the end of the day, like quality over quantity was kind of my mindset of it. Like if we're playing a show for five people that are just psyched as hell, I'd rather do that than just play for a bunch of people that are like, not psyched at all.
It has to do with attitude too.
Yeah.
It really does have to do with that.
Absolutely.
And that's what, and I feel like that's why what you guys kind of, what you guys are talking about. And I 100% like think that's how this works. You're going to, if you want to have a good time, you're going to have a good time. Like, you don't have to let it, like, if that's what you want, it can happen. Like, exactly. I think the reason Jag and stuff like this, that it's because of the attitude of the people who put it on, and people are grateful. Like, they said this is gonna be a fucking good time, so it became a good time no matter What, like, there was even sometimes, like, so, like, the end, like, I was worried because, like, sometimes with the legacy acts, it gets a little rough, like with some, like, you know, with All War at Killing Time, I was really, oh, shoot, we lost one. We lost one.
He'll be back.
He'll be back. I'll allow him to rejoin. We'll see what happens. But the end, I was very happy about Killing Time, just because, like, there's a lot of young kids in the room, and that set for me was, like, sonically, for me, I was like, that was perfect, man. I absolutely love that. Like, and him and his fucking, the singer's fucking, like, banter and bowling shirt, and him just yelling gobble ghoul before a fucking song. I was just like, this is absolutely, like, what I wanted to be. And, like, the whole weekend from, like, the first, like, the from it, you know, from the smaller bands to that, I was like the fact the energy stayed almost the same, spot on. Yeah. Hey, he's not back, whatever.
You know, like, you have those bands that you can tell are kind of just playing shows to play shows, and then you have those bands like Killing Time that just still embody that spirit of when they started, and they want to play music for them first and then for the people, you know.
Yeah,
it still fuels them, it still gives them that release and that therapy and that excitement, you know all the years later.
They kind of did, you know, they're doing things their way and kind of the way they want to do it, you know what I mean? It's like, and that's something that's very, like, authentic, that, you mm-hmm. know, I think is, you know, is a really cool thing, because, you know, it's easy to get kind of sucked into, like, you know, the hype stuff, you know, and some of the gimmicks, like, especially with, like, the like explosion, I guess, of hardcore after COVID, you know, like, you'll see shows that are, like, very, like, hype shows, and you'll see people that only kind of go to those shows because that's kind of all they're kind of in tune with at the moment, you know? And then when they get the opportunity to see a band like Killing Time that is doing things the way they want to do it, and they maybe have never heard them, it can kind of open up other doors for them to go to, you know, shows that they might not ever have considered before, just based off of viewing that kind of attitude and then seeing it maybe within other bands.
Oh, that's always been hardcore to me, though, too, because I'm like, I know it's not for everybody else, because it's like, people do, like, it's, and part of it is a social activity. Like, people want to go and do the things that their friends want to do and listen to the bands that their friends mm-hmm. want to listen to. And, you know, I'm not going to get into that or have commentary on that. That's literally not my place. But, yeah. Like, there is more to it, and like seeing that can open it up to, like, me, oh wow, I can like what I want to like, because I've seen it where, like, even as adults, I've seen my friend, I like somebody say, oh, this, I don't want to watch this or whatever, I don't want to listen to this, because, and then I'll see them follow, like, some of my other friends follow suit in that mentality, because they're like, oh well, they're not gonna listen to it, I'm probably not gonna like it. I was like, fuck that, I'm going over here, I'm watching this shit, like, when it comes to, like, some of the more punk stuff versus the heavy stuff. But I listen to, like, all of it. Like, I'll go hang out and talk with my crusty friends, and they'll tell me a couple of the bands that they think that I listen to that is trash. And I'll go to my heavy friend, my friends that listen to heavy music, and I want to go to, you know, go see Dry Socket or something like that. And they're just like, oh, I don't want to watch that, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I'm just like, I wouldn't be able to actually do this show competently if I wasn't opened up to, like, the million different styles of stuff that hardcore influences.
Right.
Yeah. I've always been a big proprietor of, like, showing up at the beginning of the show, because you never know what you're going to see. You exactly. never know what cool band who's, you know, first show or first time out of their city or first time over from Europe or something like that you're going to see and be like, wow, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because for a while there in Portland, there was a lot of like, I'd say over the last probably about a year ago, there was a lot of like mixed bills, where there'd be like hardcore bands, but then there'd also be like some very like crusty, like sludge kind of power violence bands playing too. And some of those bands would be heavier than the hardcore bands, you know, and like people would get there like later on in the night and it'd be like, you know, they'd hear about it and then it would be like, oh, wow, like I wish I could have seen that, you know. So it's, I think it is really cool when you can experience like the universal aspect of all the bands playing, because we're all kind of in the same like ecosystem together, right? One way or the other, you know, even if shows after a while start to get segregated where it's like there's specifically like power violence, like DB shows, you know, versus like a mixed bill, like it's all in the same realm and there's influence in all of it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why it's really cool to be able to see those kinds of other bands that you traditionally wouldn't really think about, because, you know, I've seen bands where like, especially with like within like the power violence scene and stuff, where I'm like, that is a straight up, like that's a breakdown. Like that is a heavy breakdown that they're playing. Granted, people aren't moving the same way, but that riff and that cadence still is like ripping really hard. So it's cool to see all the different kind of the stuff that goes on in like the underground music realm and whatnot.
It also like talking about like just like bands that are sometimes takes the bands themselves to open up to other ideas. I've been like talk to people and like I've had this band on my show forever. They're old like kind of DRI style thrash people and that have been like part of this show since like the beginning, but they just are now like when I threw all these hardcore bands at them, they're just like, this means nothing. It meant nothing to them, but the wall started to break down and they're like you know, on booking shows like, oh man, I'd like to play with like Mind Force. And I was like that's cool. That like from, and these are people that are older than me doing like 80s style music and like and having more bands being like okay, this is fine, this is or this is cool, I admit it, all right. And like I do like seeing that, because it's just like, I'm not trying to take away from what you think is punk or what you think is hardcore. If you think it, I'm just trying to show you some music, dude. You can think whatever you want is whatever it is.
Yeah.
But but at the end of the day, if I can open you up to some different bands, then I did what this show is accomplished. Like the whole reason I do this, like, is to hopefully, you know, have somebody who hasn't listened to Slime or whatever, like listen to this and find something different, whether you think it's metal, hardcore, deathcore. I personally don't care how you label it, like if you think it's cool.
Yeah, and I think that's
my cool personal opinion. Yeah,
now is there's a lot of that kind of mixed genre stuff going on. You know, you have a band like Snuffed On Sight, who's a straight slam band that is playing with hardcore bands, or, you know, like Dying Wish or Balmora, that are very like old school metalcore revival kind of stuff, that, you know, if you were to show that to other people, they're like, oh, that's, I hear like At the Gates and stuff like that in there, but somebody might hear something different that's more from the punk side or something like that, that both those groups and both those people could enjoy that material. But it's all kind of in that realm of hardcore, you know, all those bands could play together and it wouldn't be weird.
Absolutely. Well, it looks like he's not showing back up. So
yeah. His phone probably died. I know he was in his car.
So. Oh, shout out to him. Shout out to his car. Shout out to Slime. Shout out to Jag. shout out to Northwest Hardcore Fest. Shout out to everything that the Pacific Northwest is, because it's all tied together. We're all, everybody from the bands to the fest to the shows are working their ass off to like really show up for the Pacific Northwest right now. And Slime is a huge part of it. And thank y'all so much for like just taking the time. I'm excited to see what y'all do next. Anything else you want to add?
Shout out Misery Whip, shout out End of Days, Apex Predator, Spur, Skelm, Apiseer. I think I'm saying that right. I can never get it right. They got a crazy name. Rainstem 777, everybody. Shout out Dead Air.
Bolt Cutter Tolls.
Yeah, shout out all the homies, everybody.
These fucking hands.
CFH.
Everybody. And all the way down from Southern Oregon all the way up to the tippy top Canada.
Yep. Morningstar.
Everybody.
You know, shout out to our neighbors to the north. I know it's a pain in the ass every time I ask one of those bands if they want to come down and they're like, fuck, I have to. I know it's a pain in the ass, but we appreciate y'all, what y'all do up here. Fuck them fucking borders. y'all are still the goddamn Pacific Northwest, baby. That's it. Make sure y'all have a little run coming up soon, right? Y'all are getting out of town, right? Am I wrong?
With the Morningstar. Yeah.
Yes.
We're in Force to Suffer for the California dates. We leave. We play April 10th in Portland, and then from there we're going to the Bay. And then Pomona, and then LA. So should be a nice little four day mob.
Hell yeah. Excited to see what you do next. And hopefully see you up north very soon. To see it. See next time you come to Tacoma, Seattle.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Hell yeah. Well, that's it. You're listening to Dead Air Hardcore Radio.
Shut up,